It's interesting. The pre-literate societies, for the majority of the history of the human race, we didn't write things down.
Mm.
And so what we did was we told stories. Everything had a story. Mm-hmm. Every tree had a story. Every rock had a story. Every animal had a story. Every place had a story. Every family had a story. And story was how we transmitted culture, and it's how we remembered things. And when I lived in Vermont, I believe it was the University of Vermont, it was one of the colleges there, the Abenaki is the Native American tribe there, and they have stories of what happened 10,000 years ago when the mountains of blue ice, the walls of blue mm-hmm. ice receded, of what happened where, when, the order in which it happened and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of geologists went out and checked it out, and their memory was accurate,
mm-hmm.
a 10,000-year-old accurate memory. And there are a number of anthropologists over the years who've pointed out how literacy has really been a curse in some ways as much as a blessing, because when we started writing things down, we stopped telling stories. We stopped having these multi-generational stories. We stopped
yeah.
teaching our children. And it's so important that there be some stories that transcend literacy, that transcend the written down, the here it's in a book, that we teach our children.
You're tapping into my weak point here. My PhD is in religion and anthropology, and so this issue of how we create stories and how we use the stories to validate our current reality is something very important to me. I think that you're right about the storytelling. What's also true about the storytelling is that the stories ended up getting modified to sort of interpret the past in terms of the present we needed. We're not much better today, though. Writing it down is good, but in the era in which we live of information overload and therefore an abundance of received, not experiential knowledge,
mm-hmm.
You end up with a George Bush, somebody
yeah.
who can construct a reality that many people will believe.
Yeah.
We are winning in Iraq, and we are this, and we are that. And people will go to the Internet, which has a plethora of information, and they'll self-select only the information that validates what they already want to know.
Right.
So we're better, but we're not. I mean, reality rears its ugly head, and we have to be ready for it. And that is unfortunately where we are not today, is ready to deal with reality. And I think that's one of the tragic period. For example, the conflict we just went through in Israel and Palestine, where I did shows. I was on Larry King talking to Alan Dershowitz. It was an exact replay of the conversation he and I had 2006 when he used the same rhetoric. He said, "We're going to teach them a lesson. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." And I said, "Alan, what happened in 2006? Why will this one be any different?
Right.
Don't you remember?"
Yeah.
And the result is that we really don't remember. We have the written record, but we never look at it. I mean, we do the same thing with the written record. That is to say, we interpret it and whitewash it and sort of peel it away and take what we want that validates what we want to believe. And I think what's so unique about Barack Obama is that he is a historian president. He is a storytelling president. He is a reality check president. He calls not only on us to listen to our better angels, but he also reminds us of our history. I was listening to his speeches from Philadelphia down to Washington, and I was saying it's like a class in American history. Each step along the way, he reminded us of who we are, where we've come from, the challenges we face. It's going to be a great 8 years.